Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that you have given us health and strength. We're in a desire, Lord, to be here. We anticipate the service following the good song service, Lord, with joy in our hearts, knowing that as you speak to us in song, we speak to you even so. We have this blessed fellowship of communion in the Word, which transcends all other things which men think are transcendent. We praise you for it, Lord, that we have come to the very capstone. We have reached the top, as it were, of Mount Zion, which will come into form very, very shortly. And we praise thee, O God, that all things now have fallen down upon us to the extent that we are the all things here standing upon earth. And that is absolutely true, all things of God. We worship you, Lord, this morning. Let that Spirit take hold of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, at the end of the service, I'll try to bring you some announcements that are necessary concerning the meeting over yonder, except to say at this point that certainly want you to pray for the services, and me especially, as you've never prayed before, because I find that it becomes increasingly more difficult to minister, especially away from here and amongst people, because I get drained so thoroughly. I'm terribly tired now, and I just dread thinking what could happen over there. As much as I set my heart and mind not to talk to people, there's no way I'm going to get out of it, and it shakes me to think of it. That's one reason I do not like meetings anymore, because it's the strain. But then again, one day we'll be dead, then maybe wish we'd have strained a little harder. So you understand what I'm saying. Now, we're going to continue the Spirit of the Lord's Day, and I would imagine this would be about number three, if not four, number three or four, August the 28th. And we're looking at that verse, and can anybody give me two of the four things that I mentioned concerning the Spirit in the preamble? Have anything else? Good. What else? That's for the third one? Well, that's pretty good. You're a little better than the 10% class. All right. Rusty knows two of them. All right, we're going to make a review, because it'd be pretty hard for me to go on where I left off at. Now, we took as our reading of the text, I became in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You know what that is, of course? That is John actually getting into the Spirit of that day, is what we're talking about. Now, we're going to go back and make those remarks again about the Spirit, so you'll understand later on as we bring forth more material. We said, number one, that all Spirit is life. And that is true. All Spirit, when you're dealing with Spirit, you're dealing with a form of life. Actually, Spirit is life, even to the extent of lower forms of life. Life is Spirit. Spirit is life. Even germs, which contain life, are recognized to have a spirit which is life. Like Brother Branham mentioned, the spirit of cancer. He said that cancer is a spirit. Tuberculosis is a spirit. And even all the lowest forms, they have a life, they therefore have a spirit, because life is spirit. Now, there are higher forms of spirit, from the lowest to the highest, until we come up to man. As the Bible said, there is a spirit of man, and the Spirit of the Lord is the candle, the light of the spirit of man. Without that Spirit of God, there is no light. Now, Brother Branham also mentioned that a baby is born without life. But he's just kicking muscles and nerves. Now, you couldn't say that there's not some type of life there in so fact that there, in the fact that there is an energy. Well, that's true, but it is not a real life. Not until that spirit that is standing there comes into the baby. Now, that's hard to understand, but that's the way it is. Now, there's also botany life. There's a life that's in the grass and the roses. In fact, people have taken instruments and they put them on roses and flowers and they cut them and the plant shudders. I don't understand those things. I'm not interested in them. I'm interested more in animal life, because we essentially are animals. We're mammals. We're of the higher order. So all life is a spirit, and all spirit is life. Now, number two, all spirit life, and we'll call it spirit life, manifests what kind of life it is through the house that it lives in. It manifests the kind of life it is, because all life and all spirit is not the same. A cancer doesn't act like epilepsy. and epilepsy doesn't act like TB and various things like that. They're spirits, and it's just a form of a life. Now, dog life manifests different from a cat life, and of course, because a dog is different from a cat. You've never seen a dog climb a tree too successfully. I've seen them try and get up a little ways, but he's out of his element. He's out of his gourd. They weren't meant to climb trees, but you get a cat, zap. And you get a person that climbs a tree like a cat, he's got a spirit on him. Did you know in the time of Wesley Revival that the people that got anointed, they would run to beat 40, scale the wall of a barn, run along the ridgepole 30, maybe I don't know how many feet, and jump 30 and 40 feet to the ground and bound off like cats and climb a tree? You never heard that, did you? You know why? Because your church is scared. Your church is so cotton-picking scared to tell you anything that goes as a revival. They won't mention every time there's twins. There's a spirit of God and a spirit of hell. There's a spirit of love and there's a spirit of lust. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of lying. Yeah. I'll shock you. I want to shock you. Because you're not babies anymore. Not that you're four-letter stupid idiots like out in the world there. Four-letter words, but you're going to get down to the truth of things. There's twins. There's a light. The spirit of God never acts like the spirit of hell. Oh, it's one of those days we ain't going to even get to first base this morning. Just a rip. Can't win from losing. 1 Corinthians 12, first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were dumb idols, Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let me give you a real literal translation by Dr. Wade, if I can find it. Sometimes I can find things, sometimes I can't. Let's see if I can find it. Maybe it's written in another Bible. Got so many Bibles. If I can't, I'll paraphrase it for you. Concerning the charismatics, the charisma, the gifts, I want you to have clear conceptions. You know that when you were heathen, you were swept along by impulses beyond your control in orgies of those dumb idols. Well, you say in orgies where they have sex acts and drink a lot of booze. Oh, no. You can be so full of pride with your own organization. You are swept along in your idolatry and in your folly. Some men would no more commit adultery than I would go out here and jump off of 60 stories unless I was driven to it. But oh my, they're so self-righteous and they're so wonderful that they couldn't even recognize the presence of Jesus Christ and tremble. You know what? They're drunk. They're swept along in their idolatry. You better get swept this morning, brother, sister, in the spirit of this hour and doesn't go to idolatry. Go straight to Jesus like a homing pigeon, the dove. Swept along in it. And it says, but there is no parallel between those frenzies. Or they get so frenzied, they lie for the glory of God. Yeah. Well, you look puzzled. Don't be puzzled, honey. Just take it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm 69 years old and I haven't been this way for 51 years to learn nothing. I've gone through literally a hell to find out what I know, but I know it. Just get into it where it is. Old Ahab lost his life because he had 400 wonderful prophets who said, go and take it. Doesn't the Bible say so? Doesn't it say that's our land? Go and take it. Wrong interpretation. And he died for it. And the man that befriended him got in trouble. Don't get messed up with these stinking spirits that are on the end of the peripheral at this time. There is no parallel between the frenzies of the heathens and the spirit. Therefore, I must impress upon you that no one speaks rapt in the spirit can say Jesus is accursed. On the other hand, no one in his rapture can cry. On the other hand, no one in his rapture without being in the Spirit of God, can cry that Jesus is Lord. So in other words, you don't even know that Jesus is Lord until you're full of the Holy Ghost. How in the world could you? Because he's only Lord of the bride. Now, he bought everything and owns it all. But he's Lord of the bride because he's the husband. Right? All right. So therefore, watch it. Okay? There are different manifestations. Why? Because once the Spirit's in a house, the house is run by the Spirit. That's why Brother Branham said it's got to be down in your soul where it gives a new nature to the Spirit so the Spirit can run the house in a different way. How can a man say he's full of the Holy Ghost and won't put the church in order with gifts? Oh, come on, everything is simple if you let it go simple. Too many people... Oh, and I'll save that for Columbus. I'm going to comb your hair with what I got to comb somebody else's hair with. All right, number two. Number three. All spirit life has a basic nature that keeps it true and unchanging intrinsically, so that it constantly remains that life, never changing to another life. But never forget that that life is manifesting physically, and life does manifest physically. You got to see, you can see it. And that manifestation that you're observing can and does change according to the chronology of the season of the life. Okay. The devil comes down in a rage because his time is short. There's a season. So he comes down and he gets in a house. And he takes over a kingdom. And he's different from what he was before in manifestation. Because before he was the accuser of the brethren. Ain't no brethren to accuse because they done a God up there. So the same rotten, stinking life, which never changes, comes down here to destroy every vestige which is in the foolish virgin. Because he was a destroyer. And according to what house he's in, there's no change. Neither does God. When he gets in the right house, there'll always be the characteristics. Just let that go. It's not too deep, but it's there. And I read again. All spirit life has a basic nature that keeps it true and unchanging. Intrinsically, that is within itself, not visible, but in the spiritual sense, the life sense, so that it constantly remains that life. What about you? So, Brother Dale, I was a pig and I got changed to a sheep. Man, oh man. I sure wrote a lie down here. I better change that and make the prophet William Branham a liar. Because he said seed never changes. Amen. Amen. All spirit life has a basic nature that keeps it true and unchanging intrinsically so that it constantly remains that life, not and doesn't become another life. See? No transmigration, so on. But never forget that that life is manifesting physically. See, it's got to. See? There's got to be manifestation of life. Or you wouldn't know it's there. So if it's not there, manifesting somehow, forget it, it's not there. If it's there to manifest, right? Huh? Oh, come on. You people, sometimes you amaze me. You sit there as I'm trying to pull a bluff on you and trying to get you into a higher level of academics. Tap, I'm trying to get you down in simplicity here, kid. I don't feel too bad, though. I gotta wake you up. Start again. All spirit life has a basic nature that keeps it true and unchanging intrinsically so that it consistently remains that life, not another life, but never forget that life is in manifesting physically, and life does manifest, and that manifestation can and does change according to the chronology of the season of life, which in turn manifests or acts out that spirit according to the life cycle it is in at that time. For all life has a continuing cycle, see, even as in a wheat seed goes from seed to seed, plant a seed of wheat, it'll be a seed of wheat until forever and ever. You can meddle around a bit with it, hybridize, what have you, but it's a wheat seed. Can't change wheat seed to oat seed. See, you won't do it. You can graft in a vine or something, but and live off a life, but you'll never change that basic life. See, grafting is different. The caterpillar turning the butterfly is always a life. Over and over again in reproduction. Now, you come down as a human being. You're in your father's loins, even Adam. It's exactly where you were. You could have come another way in that life, but you came on down. You're designated a human being. You can't be anything else but a human being. Serpent seed can get into everything else as far as the flesh is concerned, but you'll never change that basic. You can't do it. So therefore, sheep doesn't become a goat. A pig doesn't become a sheep or anything else. Now, you'll notice then, the life or spirit cannot change. It goes on and on and on. Like Brother Branham said, you'll take the man, but not the spirit. So what we're looking at here is the quality of a spirit. We're looking at ourselves, looking at other things. All right, number four, furthermore, spirit life remains invisible until it either makes a house or a form, a carrier, or a carrier is made for it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 10th, 5th chapter, right? Not the 10th, it's the 5th chapter. All right, for we know the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal heaven. Okay? It tells you here, if this building, your body's dissolved, you will not be left in an unmanifested form. You will be clothed. So that you will not be a spirit that's unclothed. All right. To proceed. Now God himself is spirit. And it is basically the same with God. For he essentially changes not. He says in Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord, I change not. In Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. His intrinsic essential nature is well described in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, uncorruptible, or incorruptible, invisible, the only wise God be honor and glory forever. All right. God who is spirit in his original form, which is life invisible, begins, according to John 1 and 1, to form himself into human flesh. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And then it said the Word became flesh. He begins to form himself into a human form, which took place in a series of forms, wherein he formed himself into visibility by a light, by a fire, by a cloud, by an angel, by water, through a rock, through wind. And then came the perfect manifestation, which was in a human form. Notice how he manifested himself through men. In physical form, not through men in a supernatural form, as when he stood before Abraham, but when he stood before the people countless times. God coming down from heaven, standing before groups of men. Amen. Amen. Huh? Oh, our people don't like that. Well, Brother Bale says this little liar out west, he says, well, you see, he's just ass. He's so afraid that Brother Branham might be somebody. What is somebody? John the Baptist was in the caliber even beyond the prophets. What about the last forerunner? Amen. Why don't people shut up and listen for once? Oh, if you talk about them, oh, anything you say, not beauty, but, oh, you're wonderful. I certainly am. Oh, you're marvelous. Oh, yes, my wife says so, not every letter, just because I'm wonderful. Fact. Well, I'm going to keep my X-rated sermons down, so it's all right. I just suddenly thought of an illustration I used to do when I was a kid, but I ain't going to talk about it. If you're wondering, it's very simple. We had horses. I didn't say a thing. That's right. Amen. Look, brother, sister, Let's get this flat. These things against William Branham is no joking matter. God in many parts and many ways spoke in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. God came down, stood before groups of men, and declared himself as ever he's done. Hath these last days spoken unto us in the Son. Prophets were a part. This was a sum and total. The appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He used other men's bodies, and those men were accountable to God. Most of them were failures and sinners. And they did things they didn't even like to do. I'm sure it was Hosea, I think it was. He didn't like to marry a harlot, but he had to. Jeremiah didn't want to lie on his side and eat dung, but he did. And one day he formed his own body, and it was God, and God only accountable to God. And he brought us a perfection that nothing else could bring. Titus. First chapter, 1-3, Paul, an apostle of God, and apostle, servant of God, and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, that which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You realize that? But hath in due times, in this epical season, in the season for it, made known, here's what it says more originally in the Greek, but in his own private and strategic seasons, the epical season, he made known his word in a proclamation with which I was entrusted. He said, I was, William Branham was just as entrusted. I'm going to tell you something. If a building isn't started square, it'll never be square. If a building is started square, it's never right if it's ended crooked. So the same whatever it was that brought this to Paul had to bring it to William Branham. Now over here in Revelation, what we're looking at, the first chapter, getting into the Spirit, the Spirit of God we're talking about now, remember, and the way it's just like all other spirit in a certain way. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus Christ. The revelation that God gave Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. See, that sounds strange. It's not as strange at all. God said this, you are my son, this day have I begotten thee. He said, you're a priest forever. So here's a revelation God's giving. This is no doubt that which Jesus was speaking of. The Son himself doesn't know. Gotta know now. Amen. He doesn't tell me what he does know. It will shortly come to pass. Sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of prophecy and keep those things written therein, for the epical season is at hand. It's an epical season. That's what it is. What's an epic? One, a particular period of time marked by distinctive characteristics or events. Well, they're there. You think that took place in 1 hour? Ha! You think it took place in 1 day? Ha! The destruction takes place maybe in less than 1 day. Maybe it takes several days. Because they scream, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. What did they see happening? That coming down to earth with the atomic burst is a mere... That's just a culmination. Do you ever know people that were in such horrible throes of agony they wanted to die? I'm not even in horrible throes of agony. I want to get out of here. Number two, epic, begins a distinctive period of history. Three, a point of time distinguished by a particular event. The great event is the great climax, coming back with the bride. We're going to take over. And it's building up a crescendo, a spirit to it. My own little quiet inimical, which is a nice word that I really don't mean, because I'm not that nice. Inimical means in my own little way of doing it, native to me and all, you know. I'm such a nice guy. In my own little rotten way, I have something lying within me that reaches out for the millennium. I love my garden, and all I want to do is go out there and water the flowers. But I would sooner say, water, come on the flowers.
Amen.
And I don't think I got that bush right. I want you over here instead. Had to move one already, and I haven't had too much luck with it. So, this epical season, we're into it. Getting ready for the great climax. So there is therefore a life which is spirit, to be revealed or manifested, as we read in verses 1 to 2. The things that must come to pass, these things are for that epical season, which is actually the seventh seal. That part of which is the ushering into the millennium. Now, how are you going to get a millennium? Unless it's restoration. How are you going to get a millennium? Unless it's a resurrection. How are you going to get a millennium? Unless there's glorification. How are you going to get it? Unless he comes and does it.
Amen.
The epical season. Now, the epical season referred to in John 1 and 3 is found in Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So the epical season is the Lord's day, that which surrounds it. And it's got its own spirit. Yep. Yeah. Now the spirit differs from number 6. Age number 6 was the fervent missionary. Go on out and bring them in. Scatter the sea. Open door. Tremendous. Seventh seal. Rather, seventh church age is what? Come out of her, my people. Yeah. It's the closing off. It's a bad situation. All right. It is the season of the Lord's Day, certainly. And please note, it is a season with the climax of the takeover of Revelation 19:11. The bride and the groom. And the life or spirit manifesting is Revelation 1:12-18. Turn to see the voice. Saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, girded about the pass of golden girdle. A spirit's got to have something to manifest in. Here it is. Head and hair, white as wool, white as snow, eyes like flame of fire, feet as fine brass, they burn the furnace, voice the sound of many waters, he had in his right hand seven stars, like his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, countenance as the sun shining his strength, when I saw him, I fell at his feet of dead, he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am first and last, and he that liveth and was dead, now God can't live and die. No way can God die. So what you got? You got an incarnation here. See, I'm the first and last. You could put that many ways, but I can't. I just say that's Alpha and Omega. That's God. I just can't see anything but Elohim right there. I have the keys of hell and the death. That's the unseen. All right. This is putting on the physical or visible or apprehendable form. You must then think of the judge in this hour. Because you can't do otherwise. You've got to go to Scripture and relate everything you see in Scripture about the judge. If you want to go on with Revelation. Now, if you just want to stop and say there's one God, hallelujah, that's not what the prophet said.
She said, Judge, hallelujah. He said, between the time he's priest and king, prophet and king, he's judge. Now, that day of the Lord that sees him coming back with the rod of iron to bride and dissolving these things, my brother, my sister, is king. Because he's crowned. The judge is crowned. So we see a transition period. A turning of the corner. What is the corner? Judge. Okay. Just keep listening. Now this manifestation in verses 12 to 18 is the chemistry or the chemically compounded form of the Spirit, which is telling us clearly what the nature or role of that Spirit is at that time. How do you get a spirit of dog moving? You put him in a dog.
Right.
How about a spirit of cancer? You can't put it in a TV form, won't work. Now you can't put the lamb in this form. Won't work. You can't put the king right there, it won't work. See? You gotta put him as judge. Is that right? Well, sure it's right. Anybody knows that. Prophet said so. He said he was judge. That's the prophet said so. The prophet said so. He, Jack Moore, said, hey, he said, that's in his glory. His glorified form. And brother said, no, that can't be it. So he went to him and him told him.
Amen.
Him, God, told William Branham him. He said, judge. So judge. Now he's alive. Got to be a spirit there. Boy, he said, there's a soul there too. I'm going to say there's no soul there. Come on, I'm not arguing those things. I'm just trying to tell you something. See? There's a nature that is released through the Spirit. And the intrinsic thing within works through the Spirit to this outward manifestation. That's why when that Spirit is there waiting for you, there's something already there that's called a soul. And in there is a seed.
Amen.
And if the Spirit of God ever falls on your soul, then it'll begin to act through your spirit, through your body. And if there's nothing, there'll just be something. But it won't be God. It won't be a born again. You could even be foolish virgin, that thing work out. But you have to go clean to the judgment day to get your real change then. We don't. I hope that's not over your head in my heaven. By now it shouldn't be. I want to repeat. Now this manifestation of the judge in verses 12 to 18 is the chemistry. What he saw in a physical form, the chemically compounded form, the same as he had to take on him as a baby. It's a chemically compounded form of the Spirit, which is telling us clearly what the nature of the role of that Spirit at that time is. Deep within the soul of Almighty God lay the judge. So now he is going to manifest as a judge. So therefore the key is here. And it took a prophet to tell us what it was. Now we know judge. The day of the Lord. Which ends in the climactic of coming back king. Can't be a takeover unless there's a pronouncement, because God is judicious. He is called the righteous judge. Shall not the righteous judge, or the judge of all the earth, which is the righteous judge, do right? He'll do right.
Amen.
He'll have a court. Just set everything in order. That's why the bride gets restored, because she's out of order. And the judge comes down and he says, just a minute. He said, just a minute. This little child here, this dear little beautiful girl, she has been badly abused by her guardians, the world church. He said, come out of her, my people. He said, I will take over and minister. I will wash her and dress her. And I will show this is my beloved. We say, man, that's so? Yeah. Yes, that's so. He said, well, I am the judge. But he said, I'm also the king. He said, I can do these things. I have the authority. All I have to do is pronounce and say, this is the word, and watch the power of God go into action. That is exactly why Brother Branham could do what he did.
Amen.
It was the exercise by God of his own power within the prophet. For the words of man don't do it. He took the word of God. with the Word of God in the mouth of a man is the Word of God. Perfect, sinless, righteous bride. Let's get up and scream. For God's sake, let's do something.
Amen.
Tear the place apart. Let me tell you, the rocks won't even hold their peace. And one day they're going to turn to lava to prove it, my brother and sister, because they cannot hold their peace. Yeah. Those slow-moving Athens that are so slow, when people think they're standing still, will begin to flow rapidly with the heat of his presence. What should a bride do? You think if a woman doesn't get passionate around the right man, that their bride shouldn't be passionate around her husband? Well, the wife hasn't seen her husband for months, and after 6 months he comes in, "I'm here, dear." So I notice. She goes on doing the dishes. My wife had not kicked the bucket over and she was doing the floor to grab me. I'd have thrown her in the bucket outside the door. That's what happens. I used to noise my wife, but I don't noise my wife anymore. That's what he says. It is the role of the judge in the day of the Lord. It was not John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God." Neither had it come to Revelation 19:11, "The crowned king." But the judge, with the role of the king beginning to appear, because it's the ushering in. When was God not judicious? He said the seed of the woman is going to burn the bruise the serpent's head. And that word in the Hebrew is seeds. Because the seeds are in the seed.
Amen.
Yeah. Right? Good enough. All right. Now, he said, lest he go to the tree of life and live forever. Sentence has run out. Who's going to say it's time to get man off of his probation? Judge! When the judge says it, the nation that instituted the courts and the law must execute it. Oh, I'm glad he's king as well as judge. I'm sick and tired of these judges out here. Fat. Let me get out of here. So the day of the Lord produces a nature or an atmosphere that John entered into. He was there in a spirit. He was a part of it in his spirit. He was one with it. Even as there are four beasts through four, seven church ages. The first had the spirit of a lion. The next, an ox. They stood in line to be murdered. Come on. The spirit of a man. The last, the spirit of an eagle. Men who rise up and do things with the power that God gave them. Now it's God rising up to do with the power that he has for men. This is our age. The eagle up there bringing the revelation, the judge. Because the judge has the word and he reveals the word. The prophet turned judge. What is the word? And they went to William Branham. And they said, "What about this, 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 this?" Hundreds of questions. Why, he said, "I'll inquire." And he found out that was the judge. That was the prophet turned judge. That's the day of the Lord. That was discerning men, hearts, and minds. So the righteous judgment was a righteous judgment. It wasn't some horseplay. It wasn't some whim. It wasn't some fancy. It wasn't something based upon an on fact or lie. Let's read Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Why? Look at my Bible open to it. Wonderful. "For the word of God is quick." That doesn't mean anything, you know, reading. I'm not playing Russian roulette scripture. That. "For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intent. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight." Not it's his. Who's here? Spirit of the judge. Courtrooms, as it were. What's he going to do for the bride? See? Okay. It is the atmosphere of the presiding judge at the day of the Lord that is spelled under Revelation 1:17-18. And when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. here he is. What's the verdict? Now that he's here. Oh, they don't want him to descend with a shout. They want him down at the river, appearing. Hello, boys and girls, it's nice. I'm really not here. Let's play little games.
Let's be honest. There's not one of us here that's not playing games right at this hour. Just like Sarah.
Oh, we're so self-righteous.
Is what most have been doing, not just laughing up her sleep. She wasn't one who tried to kill him. She just laughed. At the end time, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh.
Sarah was not against it. She just didn't believe it. But the gates of hell are against his presence.
Brother Brand said, I was not the one that appeared. He appeared. Saturday night, I will read you some things at the meeting. Be ready. You don't have to go. Of course, it's your business. But it's going to be very interesting. I haven't lied to you yet. God helping, it'll be very interesting.
In the Patmos vision, Brother Branham said he was judge, not yet king. We brought that up. It is the supreme judge with the authority of life and death. For he fell at his feet as dead. And the one standing there said, well might you stay there. Well might you lie there. Well might you die.
He said, fear not. And John is a type of all raptured saints. He said, fear not. You've got nothing to fear of the judge. You know why? Because the judge interprets the word. Come on. Listen. But in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the... No. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Boy, he made a promise. God can't lie. Or says the legalist, you see, God didn't lie when he said the promise of eternal life was there. If you want to come and get it, you can have it. But the Bible says, no man ever comes except God draws him.
Amen.
Oh, these legalists, they make me so sick. That's why you better pray for me at the Columbus meetings. I'm not kidding you not. I rip and snort enough without getting in public and ripping and snorting. Bad enough here. And I say, if they want to hear the tapes, it's their tough luck. If they get, you know, get problems, I can't help it. I got problems myself. What am I supposed to do with you?
The supreme judge, life and death. I fell at his feet as dead, and I would have been. Because in that day, come out of here, my people, or you're dead.
Say, Brother Bill, I don't know if I believe that. Oh, come on. I heard another voice never saying, come out of her, my people, be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. I will kill her and her children with death, second death.
But the promise made, I don't care what man does. I don't care how rotten he is.
He can be a Genghis Khan. And he can still be born again if he was seed to begin with.
Amen.
It is the hour of God. Of the righteous judge to make the decision to separate the wheat from the tares, whose fan is in his hand and thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat in the garner,
but burn up the chaff. You say, just a minute. Brother Brand said, Pentecostals were chaff. I hate to see them burn. You don't go far enough. Brother Branham said, it is not the people in the organization, it is the organization. But if you throw your lot with that which is to be burned, don't be surprised if you get burned. See, listen, we'll show you that in a minute. And the tragic thing is this, that the burning is brought on by themselves in the face of the greatest manifestation of evidence that this is the hour of His presence the world has ever seen. In Acts the 3rd chapter, verse 19, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, I'm going to let you know I am present. I'm going to let you know that I'm coming after that presence is there by the Spirit. I'm going to come in flesh. But I'm going to tell you, between the time of my appearing, which is through the Spirit, and the time of my coming in the flesh, there will be a bride restored that I can come and get.
Amen.
And that's exactly right. And it says everybody who doesn't listen to that prophet at that time will be obliterated.
Right.
And how in the world can you have people living at the millennium as they try to tell you? We're going to come and take over. John became an example of that authority as seen in Revelation 1:17. He fell at His feet as dead. Thus we see the day of the Lord brings the Spirit of life and the Spirit of death. That's exactly true. Man must now face the issue or verdict of his disposition, for it is that hour. For if he is truly here with the fan in his hand, and there's got to come a time when he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire appears with the fan in his hand to separate.
Amen. That's right.
Then there's got to be a verdict. Of what? Who is righteous and who's not? Now the Bible distinctly says at the opening of the seals, the righteous are righteous, the wicked are wicked. You have your answer. Under Malachi, when Elijah comes, we will know who is righteous and who is not righteous. We will know. This is exactly as it should be. For the day of the Lord is a season, is climaxed in Revelation 19:7-21, when it talks about a bride having been made ready, and the same bride coming back with whom he was crowned, so he is made ready. And we will judge upon this earth. Let us look at Revelation 15 to 19. Now you can read for yourself Revelation 19:7-21 all the way into chapter 20, verses 1-6. But in Revelation, the 11th chapter, it says, the seventh angel sounded, great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kings of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now that's the husband right there. Yes, sir. The 24 elders which sat before God on the throne fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because you've taken to thee thy great power and His reign. Now that happened over there in chapter 5 when the seals were open. So the seals are open. Nations are angry for thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. It tells you right there, the season of the day of the Lord is going on right now. And you give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to your saints, and them that fear your name. Those that fear your name are in Malachi. Elijah has restored them. Who is stalking the land today? The judge is stalking the land. And he says the time's here. This is the hour. The fan is in the hand. Separating time. All the mysteries being revealed. The lawyer goes before the judge. The preachers go before the judge. We all went before the judge. Spirit of God and William Branham. We said, Brother Branham, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? He said, I'll interpret the word. Interpret the word. Interpret the word. Who interprets the word? Not the lawyer. He does his best to build a case like a bunch of preachers.
You got more preachers for the devil than you got for God. Don't ever kid yourself. You got more preachers against you than you got for you. Don't ever kid yourself. You think you got more preachers for and against you. Let me tell you something. Dismiss the church now and go on home. You ain't fit to be around here. I'll be honest, I should tell you flat. You ain't fit to name the name of Jesus Christ because you're not even born again. Many more of the children of the wicked, the desolate, Jesus got a husband. Brother Branson, I supposed to have said, I don't know, but the man that said this, I think he told the truth. He says, not that many fivefold. Doesn't mean there's only five, less than five fivefold ministry, because you'd have to have five to begin with. He's just letting you know. You think there's not a mess going on? Come on. You think the devil doesn't know his time is short? Don't you think he doesn't know the seals are open? Don't you think he doesn't know he's been exposed? If I didn't know that Brother Branham's life was in God's hands so the devil couldn't touch Brother Branham in any way, shape, or form, you had better believe that the devil killed Brother Branham before he could spill the beans on the trail of the serpent. But God doesn't do things like that. Now, the time of the dead. See, there it is, small and great. And destroy them that destroy the earth. Listen, there's a spirit there. One life and one death. The spirit of life in the bride. And everything that's in life she endorses and rejoices in. Jubilee is here.
Amen.
I've been in prison too long and my jailers. I'm glad to get away from them. Oh, I'm sure that Moses, when he left the promised land, he went over there to the jailer that had him put in jail years ago, and he said, please, he said, come with me, because I love my dear old jailers. And I'm sure when the water parted, Moses stood there, and he said, now, Lord, let them come through also. He said, I just love those dear Egyptians, let them come through. See, Brother Bailey, getting bloodthirsty. I'm not bloodthirsty. Trouble is people don't understand the Word of God. I just might be stupid and say, oh, Lord, poor old Pharaoh. Let him come over here. And then when he goes, he cut my throat as soon as he got there. Listen, folk, what do you think the devil does in the second resurrection? He comes and leads everybody against God.
Amen.
Get your love lined up, brother, sister. Get your love lined up and get rid of this hogwash that's supposed to be called love, where people love a lie. And they love liars. Eve was seduced through a liar. All seducers are liars because they promise to marry the girl and they don't. They leave her in the lurch. How many times you got to get deceived and pregnant before you understand what seduction is? Woman, our neighbor years ago, this man had a woman just live in his place. And then when she got pregnant illicitly, he kicked her out. Because he had found out she'd already been pregnant by a man before. And he said, what was the matter with your head? He said, the first one left you. Well, she said, he said he'd marry me. He said, didn't the first one say he'd marry you too? Oh, yeah. Oh, merciful God. You know, Jesus never lost a marriage vow to sin. The devil did. Oh, brother, sister. Let's go back to Revelation 1:8. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Revelation 10. In the Spirit and heard me a voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. All right. This is most definitely the Omega who was once the Alpha. Now, if he was Alpha and Omega, and this is the Omega, what is the Alpha? Well, what can be the Alpha? This is the Lord having his day, leading his people into his kingdom, which is the millennium. See? We saw that in Revelation 11. So, the Alpha. You've got to go back to the Exodus. Physical, because ours is physical. Not spiritual anymore, it's physical. Spiritual and physical, but physical. We go to Deuteronomy 30. 11 to 20. For this command which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither beyond the sea that you should say, who'll go over the sea for us, and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Now look it. That tells you flat that there's coming a time as there. because that's the Alpha. Then in the hour of the Omega, something has got to become known to you. The seals, the thunders are not opened. You can't go to heaven to get the secret. You can't go back east. John's dead. You can't get the secret. But as the light that shineth from the east to the west, so shall also the present. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now you say, well, there's some kind of commandment I gotta do. I'll go into that sometime. Haven't got time today. I gotta go to 1 John and weed that. I haven't got time. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Life and death. Good and evil. The spirit of light. The spirit of death. The spirit of good. The spirit of evil. And it's in a word that comes in a mouth. Whose mouth? The prophet's mouth. Then our mouth. And that word makes the difference. They did that over in Malachi. And they that feared the Lord and thought off upon his name, spake often one to another, thought upon his name, spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened unto them. The book of Remembrance is written. And he said, those are my jewels. And those are the ones that know wickedness and righteousness. They know who serves God and who doesn't. See? Now, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgment, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord God bless thy name and the land you go to possess it. Now, we're not going into multiply anymore. That's already done. We're going into possess. But the principle's the same. But if thine heart turn away, thou wilt not hear. Thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. He said, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish. And you'll prolong your days and not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. See? Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, and thou may cleave unto him, for he is thy life, the length of thy days, that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thee. Now it tells you right here, this is the end time. Because if the Lord is our length of days, we're going to go on and on and on, it's never going to end. So you've got the Alpha. Now listen, if the Alpha was significant in that it was marvelous, but the revelation of man on Sinai killed, what would be the end time? it tells you that the glory of that hour, of this, hasn't any glory at all in the light of the glory that now is. Now let me get your quote here. I'm going to read it at the end of my message again. Now listen here. I wrote it down here, and it's going to be here because I got it. My brother Branham says in communion, page 20, in paragraph 78, if God ever sends his power to the church, it'll be grace, not the obedience of the people.
Amen.
Now that is what we're talking about in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Okay. To the land sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now Abraham didn't look for a land. He looked for a city. So there's where we're going. Okay. The final warning before the entrance. We get the same thing, which is in Revelation 22, 18, 19. Now, this would be the atmosphere goes without question. All we have to do is read the second chapter, the two chapters of the church ages, and you can see the judge in every age. Let's go to the two chapters. Now, let's just go to the second chapter and read verse 18. Unto the messenger in Thyatira, I know your works, love, service, faith, patience, works. And you get them more, it works more and more as you go along, he said. But you made a big mistake. You got Jezebel, you allow her, and you call her prophetess. She seduces my servants to commit fornication, eats things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent, she repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation except they repent, and kill her children with death. Now it tells you that. So it's always been the judge. The pronouncement has always been in the Word. The mandatory date of sentencing can never come to pass until Alpha becomes Omega, which is the cup of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, when the world church gets full and ready for judgment, that's the time he comes. Come out of here, my people. And the judge begins bringing them out. All right. We see that death comes in Revelation 22, 18 to 19. That's add a word and take a word. The tribulation comes in. That add a word or take a word started in 2 Corinthians 11. They were seduced by the serpent as Eve was. Because their minds were polluted. If the minds were polluted under Alpha of the beginning of the church age, under the Omega of the church, and I'm talking about beginning of church and Omega of church, I'm not talking about God now, beginning and end, then if there's restoration, the mind must become unpolluted. That's what it says. They started with a polluted mind. She was deceived, she was corrupted. See? That's the same as in Isaiah 28. Verse 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. That's when he's going to make up his bride. A spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment. And for strength that turn the battle to the gate. There's one gate of salvation. That's Jesus the Christ. Judgment is in the land before we return to that gate. Now watch, they have heard through wine. Wrong revelation. They have heard through strong drink. They went far beyond their revelation. They left the word of God entirely. The priest and prophet heard through strong drink. Swallow up a wine. Out of their way through strong drink, they earn vision. They stumble in judgment. Where is the judgment of God? Not in the church. They blew it. See? For all tables are full of vomit. There is no clean place. In other words, there is no proper judgment. For whom shall he teach knowledge? Who will he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk. Pentecost went back to milk. Out of Pentecost comes the strong meat of Melchizedek. Now notice, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here and there, for we stammer is another tongue, with derision. This will bring derision. To me said, this is the rest, which you may cause the weary to rest. And this refreshing they wouldn't hear. In other words, Brother Branham said the measure of the Word and the Holy Spirit was synonymous. And they said, this is the Holy Spirit, the Word, drop dead. Gifts is the Holy Spirit. And they walked on. Now God's going to laugh in derision. God drops strong delusion. The very gift ministry destroys them. The life has gone out of it. Listen, if that's the truth, then death is in the gifts, not life. Why do people want to fool with gifts? You better put them in order to know the life is there. And if they don't manifest under order, leave them alone. Watch where your churches are gone. A lot of preachers won't have gifts in the church, but they sure like to think they can exercise amongst the folk. Oh, I got a vision. I got this. I saw that. Fact. One fellow told me something. And there's a brother sitting here right now, he told it on him. Did God reveal it? I find out from the brother that God couldn't reveal it because the brother didn't do it. So much for his cotton picking vision. For his prophecy. His hogwash. He said they wouldn't take it, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. In other words, it backfired on them. He held them accountable. That they might fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. By whom? Rome! Who did it? Mr. Pentecost. Mr. Trinitarian Pentecost. Now, let's face it, you know his name. His name is Mr. Duplessis. And by now, I think he ought to be dead because he's real old, but he's still living. It makes you think, doesn't it? If I'm wrong, may God get me out of here. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful people, that rule this people which is Jerusalem. That's earthly Jerusalem. Because you said we made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement, when the overflowing skirt shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we've hid ourselves. But what does God say? I have laid in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And judgment will I lay to the line. In other words, you won't jump the gun. You can stand still for the resurrection. And righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away their refuge lies. They'll be here in the tribulation. And water shall overflow judgment, the hiding places. It'll spook them out right now. You watch and see. You know what they'll do? They'll take the Antichrist. The showdown is at hand, brother, sister. Or don't you think it's going on? What do you think's going on? If he is here, his fan is in his hand. He is separating. I don't care what anybody says. You believe what you want. However, notice the promises here in 16 and 17. I lay in Zion a stone, the chief cornerstone, a foundation stone, a tried stone. In other words, the precious, the same one at the beginning is revealed at the end. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Absolutely. Okay, blend this with Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send your lives to the prophet, or the coming great and deadly Lord. And he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, that they come and smite the earth the curse. And Malachi 3:16, they that feared the Lord thought upon his name. You know, spake often one another, Lord, hearken to them. Book of Remembrance is written. They'll be my jewels in the day I make up my tiara, my great crown. He said, they're going to be my crown of glory. And he said, they'll discern between righteousness and wickedness, who serves God and who doesn't. And I will serve them as the Father that saves his Son that serves him. In other words, he will be what? The manifested Son. You follow? Manifestation of sons. Adoption. And it comes in the resurrection, the fullness. It's coming now. There's a manifestation now. And the manifestation is believing that word. What God is going to do. Not obedience now. Malachi 4, 1 to 2. Behold, the day cometh, burneth in heaven. And all the righteous, all the do Israel, all the proud shall be a stubble in the day that I do this. But unto you, he said, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. How? Because Elijah's there. See? Life and death. Blessing, curse. Good and evil. Righteousness and wickedness. Serve God, don't serve God. It's all there. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. All the mysteries are running out. Time runs out under the seventh seal. The ushering in of the millennium. He's here. The prophet is here. The judge is here. The whole thing is here. Why? Because the revelation is here and the judge alone can reveal. But listen, he was that before he was incarnated in a body called the Word. It was not Jesus that came down to Abraham. That was the one without father and mother. Jesus had a father and mother. This is Elohim. This is the one that says, sit there until I make every enemy your footstool. So he's sitting and waiting for it. That's our bridegroom in the flesh. God is here. God separated, dispelled the darkness by sending light. Brother Branham said so. We read that in the, studied that in the man turned on the light. He separates life and death by reason of being life and bringing life. He just lets the rest stay there dead. That's all. The rest of the dead didn't live to 1,000 years. He comes on the scene, there's death, so he just leaves them dead and walks on with us. Sure. He brings life in the midst of death. For it's a point when the man wants to die, but these aren't going to die. Notice the Alpha in Leviticus 20, 24 and 26. Twenty-four. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nation, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. 26. And ye shall be unto me, ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy. And have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Now what makes them us holy? God makes us holy. He does the separating. His fan is in his hand. See? All right, the Omega's Revelation 18:4, come out of here, my people. So you don't partake of her sins. If you don't partake of her sins, what do you get? You get God. This is Ephesians, right, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself sent me to show. This is the presence of God in 1 Corinthians 15:23, and the changing of the mortal to immortality. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-10. We're not of those that are going to ordained under wrath. We're ordained unto those who will not have wrath. Yes, the very atmosphere of life and death, the atmosphere of finality, the atmosphere of no return is in the land in this season. It is a spirit, an aura, that might well be put as in Joel 3:9-16. Certainly can't find that in Hosea. You can get far enough. Proclaim this among the Gentiles, prepare war. All right? Preparing dinner and preparing to eat dinner are sure two different things. If the wife prepares the dinner, she says to her husband, you better prepare for dinner. That means he washes his hands and comes in. She prepared the dinner. This says prepare war. It doesn't say prepare for war, it says prepare war. In other words, the spirit of death has got to come in the land. There's got to be an atmosphere for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. That's what Russia did. The Americans were strong, so damn weak. They're trying to get strong, it's too late. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, gather yourselves together about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Yeah, watch, mighty ones come down. Let the heathen be wakened, come up in the valley of Jehoshua. There I'll sit to judge all the heathen round about. Separation again. Putting the sickle for the harvest is right. Come get you down, the press is full. The fats overflow of wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. See, there's the day of the Lord. When they all get wiped out. Sun and moon should be darkened. That's a tribulation, 3.5 years. Stars withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth shall shake. That's during the tribulation. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. He's going to take care of the 144,000 like he took care of us. The strength of the children of Israel. That's far enough. Now, let's go over here to 1 Corinthians again. And look what we see here. In 1 Corinthians 15. This is, my Bible's just about completely worn out in this chapter. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after a day there Christ shall be present. There he is. Now what's going to happen to us? He's going to take care of us. It says, now, brethren, I say flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption here nor incorruption, before the show of mystery. When all asleep, will all be changed. There you are. Same thing. The very atmosphere of the land. It savors more of death than life to the world. That's the atmosphere of the day of the Lord, Revelation 19:17-21. Nations are gripped in the suicidal and genocidal spirit. And we are just awaiting the first pull of the trigger to send the earth into atomic convulsions. Nazism and communism have a spirit of genocide to destroy the Jews. And America will soon join in. They'll betray them for the oil. On the other hand, a bride with no evidence other than the word is maturing rapidly into life immortal, and she has the revelation of the rapture, and therefore has rapturing faith. Amen. You say, Brother Bill, I want rapturing faith. I got it. You say, how do you? I am. I don't care if I die or anything. Say, I got it. Why? I'm going to be there. He said so. Amen. You say, well, you got to have something out there. You got to be nuts. He told me, don't look out there. Don't look at the church. Don't look at anything. Look at the word. And that's what I did. I looked at the word, and the word says, hey, you got it made. Hey, we are today exactly, 2 Corinthians 2:14-17, that Paul said, a savor of life unto life and death unto death, in death to them that perish and life unto us that are living. I've got a savor of life. See, I know it. You say, Brother Bill, what if something happens? Well, I'm not worried about that because, you see, here's the point. It doesn't matter. You say, well, how? Because the die has been cast, I'm sorry. If there is anything to this thing, I'm on the right side. And I don't have to lie about or anything else. I don't have to puff myself up and make myself look good because I can never make myself look good. Fat. What could I do to look good? I got my Kentucky Colonel suit on today. That doesn't mean I'm with a bunch of chickens, but with the eagles, but what does it matter? I never could look that good. What does it matter? If I look good to my wife and she looks good to me, that's all that counts. See? So here we are. Who is sufficient for these things? Why, he said, I'll tell you what is sufficient. The incorruptible word that I gave you is going to bring about living epistles that prove that they are the epistles through the transformation by the revealed word, which is at the end time, Christ Logos, absolutely in our midst revealed.
Amen.
Even this written Christ coming to light. This book without spirit is just a book, brother. Let's face it, brother. I tried to preach Christ, the descended word. I preached everything about the Logos but the truth. He himself is here. Put it any way you want to put it. We are at the valley of decision, which valley is made by two mountains, Ebal and Gerizim, blessing and cursing. We're going in. New Jerusalem and the second death is in plain view. You don't believe it? Let's read it. If I can find it. Revelation 2:22, behold, I'll cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. But what about the others? Why, he said, I'll give them a new name. Write my name on their forehead. Make them New Jerusalem and so on. Now, Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and gave a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent forth his weddings to call him that had been to the wedding. He would not come. Sent forth other servants. Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, fatlings to kill. Come to the marriage. They made light of it. Went their way. One to his farm, another his merchandise. To him that took his servants and beat him up. They got engaged religiously. There were a bunch of unbelievers that said, drop dead, I got business. Business goes on as usual. Nothing has happened or will happen, like H.G. Wells said. The others were religious. They got mad and beat these poor guys up. The king heard it. Now notice he's king now. He's wroth. He sends his armies. Kills the murderers. When does the wedding supper take place? In the sky with the bride. So this is happening now. You think they won't persecute you? Of course, I fight back. Bible says, you run from city to city when they persecute you. I haven't had to run from city to city, but I can sure run from tape to tape. Sermon to sermon. Insult to insult. I'm not proud of it. It's just my dirty nature. But I'll tell you one thing. If this is not worth fighting for, the way I believe it, I'd quit preaching. If I can't stand up and be counted, just because a bunch of little Pentecostal pussycats run around the country. See? They accuse me of running around the worst spinning churches. No church, split no church. My messages are always exploratory and explanatory. But a church is split, that's your business, not mine. God never did come to bring peace to anybody. He came to bring a sword. The sword cut both ways. It was a sword that Brother Branham said, dress the bride, bring on your holy vesture. He said, the sword of the king And he screamed, bring on the holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So much for Pentecostal pussycats. We can go into death by means of the false glare of denominational Pentecostalism, denominational Christianity, or go to the very image of Christ, the first fruit of Almighty God, by coming to Him who is present and is the light. We are into the image of light and life because light is what is reflected. And it speaks of a mirror. And it is the life, the light, or the word that brings life. And it is that word that said He is here. For John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message foreruns the second. And he said, my ministry is to declare that He is here. So what is the message? This is my ministry. A message. What is it? To declare that He is here. Not coming. See? So it sums up to this. Man has been for 2,000 years and even now judging God. But at this moment, though man is unaware, the judging God's judgment are in the earth. The prophet said so. I want to stand with Paul this day at the end of time, at the end of the Christian warfare, and say with all the bride, we have fought a good fight. We have finished the course. We have kept the faith. Henceforth, for us there is laid up a crown of righteousness the righteous judge shall give us. It's already made up. All those who love His appearing. What is His appearing? The epiphaneia. His shining upon us. How can you lie in the presence of the Son, His shining, if He's not here? Brother Branham said the glory that came to Luther. He said that was a fine glory. It was a greater glory came to Wesley. A greater glory to Pentecost. But he said this glory, theirs is nothing by reason of this. Because this glory never fades. The life never runs out of this. Because you see, the bride won't organize. She won't add, she won't take. His epiphania. His brightness. Coming more and more into the church. And men got in the way and they said, oh, great mighty Luther. And he was a very nice man. Oh, great mighty Wesley. And his name is tremendous. And along came William Branham. Nobody knows him. And there'll be no history. Because it's all going to burn.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 But so will theirs. The greatest one of all. That presented His presence. Yeah. He won't be mentioned. I can see us gathering around the great throne when we worship Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can see the greatest screamers of all time of the bride age will be men like John, the Revelator, the Apostle Paul, good old Irenaeus, Columba, Martin, Luther, Wesley, and it just may be that William Branham might scream the loudest. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not trying to place anybody anywhere, but I want to be there. By the grace of God, I'll be with the ranks of William Branham. You say, why? Because that's seven church age. And you remember in the old days when anybody used to die, they used to die. I mean, when they did die. Not used to die, did die. Kind of got that when they used to, I really meant when they used to go as mourners, you know. It said that old David, you know, they wept, you know, over this great general that died. And everybody wept on David. You know, that was the time when you used to show how you loved him by, you know, really screaming, you know, sobbing. And it said David exceeded in weeping and you know, in bawling. I don't want to be there. I hope I can at least... If I not be equal to some men, no. But I hope I do top some people, at least, and be able to scream praises unto God in that day. I just hope so. I don't know if I can do it or not. I hope so. I really do. But I'll be satisfied if I can just be there and say, praise God. Shining in His strength. His outshining, radiant, Logos presence that brings us into immortality. What a glory is here that never fades, that goes into immortality. I see unequivocally the Spirit. The presence, the nature, the aura, The compelling realization of life is not death. The compelling realization is life and not death. And it is ours. And yet, the certainty of death to the unrighteous makes us know you can't have the one without the other. And you cannot have one without accepting the other. For he said, bring mine enemies that I may slay them, and they shall be slain. For I can hear him say, as John said, fear not. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the great God in the midst of you, and you shall live and not die. And I'm going to just close with that I read. If God ever sends his power to the church, it will be grace, not the obedience of people. And Paul prayed that that spirit would come. The spirit of revelation, of wisdom and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your heart being open, you may perceive and thoroughly know him and what he is to us. All those things which in turn will bring the power of the resurrection in our midst. And that is ours. And that is the day of the Lord. And I believe that that is here. We are in the midst of it. Let's rise at this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are glad and we rejoice that this is that hour. It is the epic climax, the corner having been turned, of the day of the Lord. Coming back upon this earth with the bride. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I know, Lord, that it's very unequivocally set forth in Scripture that to get this day there is war in heaven. For even Michael fights with the devil to kick him out. And you will come back and fight with the enemy. And there is a great spiritual warfare going on. But we know the decision is there. Thou art mine. And because I live, you'll live. And we know all the rest goes into death. Lord, in this hour, we know there is a spirit that must be with us. God, let that spirit be your spirit as you interpret and you in your way live it yourself concerning this hour. That we may be so solidly one with you, our eyes so fixed upon you, that we will be oblivious to all else, so that though death stalks the land, the spirit of life is so preeminent and has given such eminence amongst us that we don't have any time for death. Our thoughts are on thee, O God. Our minds, our hearts are fixed on thee, is what we desire to say with the fullness of the Holy Spirit exercising that within us. Lord, take over these vessels as never before. Help us to learn to get out of the way as the prophet said. And then we won't have one bit of trouble with the spirit of the end time. But it shall be the glorious spirit of life all the way. We are dealing with life. We know we're not dealing with death. Though death is in the land, Lord, we know that Israel escaped. It was the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood today. We look for our redemption. We believe we're in the midst of it now. Redemption's day, sealing off of 6,000 years. Father, we don't even know what that means. How can we begin to understand, O God, until you reveal and you take us more and more into it, just what has gone on and is going on? But the prophet said, when we're brought up today to know what's going on, he said, that does it. That does it. That's what went over there with Israel. That's what went over there at the time of your son upon earth. That's what we believe the time is here now, Lord. That does it. We're right back to the home stretch. And Father, I got faith in you. That we're not going any one of us by emotions or anything else today, though there is a wonderful aura in this hour that does bring up emotions and things. But we're going strictly upon faith in that word. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. Now don't forget no service on Wednesday at here in this place. Friday night will be a service about 7:30. You're welcome to go over there. We want you to go over there. And I think...